Get your closet and home ready for cooler temps at Macy's Veterans Day Sale with great deals on winter boots, coats, sweaters, and more. Take 25 to 50% off looks for the little ones during our Kids and Baby Sale. And update your home with our lowest prices of the season on select furniture, mattresses, and rugs, 20 to 65% off. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members earn even faster during Star Money Bonus Days. Going on now. Info at Macy's.com/StarMoney. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night. Welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me tonight is nobody. This is a very special episode of Bob After Dark because it's going to be my first solo actual live episode. I've been hosting the Spooky Talks as little minor streams that aren't scripted, but this is going to be the first episode of my normal show plus my podcast that I'm going to be hosting solo-y. I don't even know if that's a word. Moving on. Pat from Ghostly has been very nice to help me co-host the past few episodes of Bob After Dark, but he needs to focus on Ghostly and I can't rely on him forever. So he was very nice. He would have done it if I would have asked, I'm sure, but I didn't want to bother him. I wanted to see how I could do this as a solo act. So my podcaster fans that listen to me in podcast land, if you guys could just bear with me for this episode, I'm going to be the best host I possibly can for you guys. And I hope you enjoy the show. If this is your first time ever listening to Bob After Dark on podcast land, it is a show about legends, lore, and the supernatural. I talk about anything from weird occult things, high strangeness, ghosts, cryptids, the unknown. And if this is your first time ever watching on Facebook Live with the normal live show, feel free to chime into the chat and say hello as well. I'm able to kind of monitor both, so I should be able to answer your chat questions on top of being able to stream. The other thing we do here on Bob After Dark is we cover some weird spooky news stories of the week, and we get some, usually some my co-host takes, but I don't have that this week. So you're just going to have to bear with me. If for everybody that's watching in the Facebook Live, make sure you guys click that share button at the bottom and click the heart icons. Get those watch parties going and then share as much as you possibly can. That way there, I have as much people watching as possible. And if this is your first time ever listening to me on the podcast land, especially if you're listening to Apple Podcasts, make sure you leave a nice little 5-star review. I always read those out loud and it makes me feel all good and warm and fuzzy inside. If you leave me anything under a 5, I'll find you. All right, guys, so let's just dive right into the spooky news of the week. The first story I have comes from an Indonesian village by the name of Kepun, K-E-P-U-N. I am not from Indonesia. I do not speak the native tongue of Indonesia. So just bear with me if I mispronounce that. This comes to us to the village of Kepun and the village on the island of Java, which I totally knew that word. I had here, I wanted to crack a joke about coffee, but I'm not a coffee drinker, so I think that would, I think that joke flies right by me. The cool thing about the story is it kind of takes the scary world that we're living in right now, which just totally does relate with what we're going on right now. In the village of Kepun, they've been having a lot of COVID-19 outbreaks, and Indonesia in general has something like 1,500 cases with 300 deaths so far, which is astronomically high and scary. And they're just like in most places that we are in the world right now, the government of Indonesia has set a shelter in place. And the best way they've been able to kind of do that, especially with like cooped up kids, is they're trying to keep as many people in as possible. So the village has taken on volunteers to try to keep as many people inside as they can. And how they were doing that, where the volunteers dressed up as Pokong, that's P-O-C-O-N-G. Pokong is the Indonesian version of a tortured spirit. And the ideas of a Pokong is when they pass, their soul is left here on this plane, not able to cross over into the afterlife. And they get a little bit more tortured. They feel like they're not able to move on. Restless spirit, poltergeist, whatever the phrases that you prefer to use. It really worked with the children, especially because they saw them, and I'll share a image up on the Bob After Dark Facebook page, but the image itself was definitely really on the spooky side. It was, these volunteers look really scary, and the fact that they were able to keep the people inside using those kind of tactics, I guess, is questionable. It's using a fear tactic, but it definitely worked out in the long run, too. So the, that's my first story. The second story comes to us from MIT, which if you guys don't know where MIT is, especially my fans from outside of America, MIT is one of the more elite universities or unis for my UK fans out there in America. They do a lot of technology stuff, so things like engineering and advances in any form of computer science, what have you. These people work at in a specific lab at MIT called MIT Dream Lab, and they are developing a piece of technology that is able to measure your dreams, like your dream cycle. So where you're at in your dream, like area. So if you're like in the middle of like REM sleep or your deep sleep or your basic like beginning forms of your sleep cycle, this piece of technology is able to measure where that's at and kind of give your brain a little bit of a jolt through your central nervous system. And basically what it's doing is trying to activate your brain while you're sleeping to induce lucid dreaming. And the funny thing is, it's literally like a gauntlet, a glove that you put on while you're in the middle of sleep. And that's supposed to help manipulate the dream cycles and basically teach you how to lucid dream. Think of it as the Nintendo Power Glove. I don't get to make too many video game references on the show, so it made me very, very excited that I was able to share that particular reference with you guys. I have here, I wanted to talk a little bit about this, and I wanted all of my fans to chime into the chat and talk about that a little bit. Some people could lucid dream normal. I can do it sometimes. And what is lucid dreaming? Lucid dreaming is the idea that you're able to kind of control what is going on in your dream, and you're able to kind of manipulate that to what you want. It's the idea that nightmares then would become a thing of the past, and you could kind of manipulate what you want going on in your dreamscape. I don't necessarily think that's such a good idea to have a piece of technology induce lucid dreaming. Lucid dreaming, in my belief system, is that it's more of a spiritual thing than it is like something you should be able just to kind of do with a piece of technology. This glove should be able to, you know, is just a tool. Lucid dreaming is about your mind. It's about trying to, strengthen yourself as self versus not. Excuse me, I'm kind of moving my laptop holder around a little bit, so the camera might not be as comfortable as my normal stuff. I'm not in my studio. I'm not in my normal office. I'm kind of recording from my makeshift studio at the moment, so just bear with me. So I don't know. I really think that these MIT people are doing something good, I guess. If you can conquer nightmares, especially for kids, maybe that would help with like deep-rooted psychological trauma. I'm all about that. I think that's a good thing to have. But at the end, on the other end of the spectrum, I'm a firm believer that dreams are supposed to teach you something, and your dreams sometimes are the best ways for something to try to communicate with you or have some sort of form of relief, right? Sometimes I get my own muse and my own inspiration I could draw from my dreams that I have normal, and it's... I don't feel like I should be able to control that. I mean, lucid dreaming is okay, and it's a nice way to kind of focus and exactly get to what you want and get to exactly where you need to be. But the... I don't know. I guess just artificially infusing something that is very sacred, like the dream, it should be something natural. It should be something that you should just kind of fall into line with and have. So that's the question I'm throwing up in my chat right now. If you guys have some commentary about that, go on ahead. I'm able to lucid dream on the occasion. I have friends that are very well practiced in it, and they're just able to boom, 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 boom. I'm able to kind of control what I'm dreaming every night, and, you know, I could kind of focus on what I have to focus on when I'm asleep. Whereas for me, I do it on the occasion, but I also kind of appreciate where my dreams take me on the norm. I used to suffer from chronic nightmares as a kid, but now that I'm an adult, usually when I get a nightmare, I try not to let it affect me so much. I try to learn from what it's trying to teach me. I'll share with you guys something real quick before I move on to the lore of the week. I'm not usually one for sharing my dreams too much, but this one I will. Over the past year, throughout the year 2019 leading up to 2020, there was a point in time, I'd say almost every night for like 4 or 5 months straight, I kept having reoccurring dreams, borderline nightmares, that I was back at my old day job, and I used to work at a movie theater, so I was, you know, that guy that would clean up popcorn after the movies, I'd help make popcorn, etc., etc. That was like my first big boy job, quote unquote. And I left there on pretty good terms. It was fine. It was my favorite job I ever had, man. If you ever had a chance to work at a movie theater as a kid, it was the coolest job. I loved that job. Didn't pay the best, but I had a lot of fun in my tenure there. But it was for whatever reason, I was going through the motions of like being there every night. And for a while, I would dread going to sleep because no matter what I could do, I'd always end up at the movie theater in some different circumstance. I'd end up working there in my now self, like my age now. There were times I dreamt that I was a kid again working there. I had one dream where I walked out of a movie theater after cleaning it and somehow I lost my clothes and I was like naked. And I've never had that kind of a dream before. And I know that says a lot. I think there's like a common trope there when you dream about being naked. I think it's a vulnerability thing. But I digress. I had that dream for so long and I couldn't shake it. And man, I was starting to dread it. I just wanted to leave that dream. And I guess maybe with this glove I could have done it. But after a while, I was able to kind of conquer it and I haven't been back since. I don't know exactly what my dreams were trying to tell me then. I'm a firm believer that dreams should be interpretations. It should be you should be able to learn something from them. That's pretty much it. And that's my first two bits of spooky news of the week. I talk a little bit about everything from like science fiction, like news that on science advances, like the MIT, you know, power glove. I'll call it the power glove because that's the best way of describing it. I talk about things like that and then like paranormal news where, you know, ghost sightings in famous places, or even in the case with the Indonesia thing, they kind of use the paranormal to their advantage. So I share news stories like that. So if you ever come across a news story that you would like me to cover on the show, don't hesitate to reach out on the Facebook page, or you can email me bob@bobafterdark.com. That's the best way to get in touch with me. So let's dive right into the lore of the week. And what is the lore of the week? It is a topic that I cover every week in the world of the paranormal, the occult, and pretty much anything of high strangeness, and we talk a little bit about it. Usually I get a co-host's opinion, but I don't have one this week, so let's just dive right into what I am talking about. And this week, I am talking about the Dark Watchers of California. And let me share a little bit of a story before we begin, before we talk about what these things are. So it's really cool being in the field of work that I'm in because I get a lot of really cool input from my fans. I get a lot of people reaching out to me, messaging me about different like news articles going on or different weird haunted places or cryptid sightings, whatever it might be. A lot of the time when people share these things with me, it's something I've already covered on the show, or it's something I plan to cover down the line, or maybe it's something that I know is just completely like not talkable. That's not proper English, but you get the idea. Sometimes these topics are really, really good, and sometimes I need just a little bit more. But on the occasion, though, sometimes people send things and they strike gold with what they find. I'm able to cover an entire show's topic, which usually I like to get about a half hour to an hour's worth of lore based on what I have. And this time I got a set of like an infographic from, I want to give a quick shout out to Kim Watkins and Kyle Starr for being able to find these this infographic, and they both sent it to me on different hours of the day, and it was really cool. So I woke up and I saw the first one. It was like right in the morning when I got it, and it was this infographic of the states listed in alphabetical order, A through the last one, and it had a different form of high strangeness. What I mean by that is like paranormal sightings, cryptids, etc., right? But there's a different creature or different story every state. And it was really cool because some of the stories, like the West Virginia Mothman, that's a classic one. Everybody knows the story about the West Virginia Mothman. And if you don't, stay tuned. Someday I'll talk about it. It's my favorite story. People know about like the Bell Witch in Tennessee. You know, those are common ones. So obviously those made the list. But on that list, there were some ones on there that really surprised me in the fact that I never knew anything about them going into the show or going into reading about these things. I had zero idea. And it really surprises me when those things come up. I don't claim to know everything by any means. I might be very knowledgeable in the occult and in weird, spooky things that go bump in the night. I'm very knowledgeable. But by no means am I a 100,000%, I just know everything right off the top of my head. There are plenty of things that I'm still learning about. But with that being said, I'm pretty hip to most things. Most stories I have at least heard of, or at least I have a general idea. But man, I'm telling you, when I got through this infographic by letter C, which is what we're talking about this week, I'm like, I have no idea what that is. So this infographic had a lot of really cool stuff on there, and I was hoping the ones that I didn't know about would have some content more than just a couple blips of a story, and that's you move on. There's no bit of more of information about it. And unfortunately, with the paranormal, there ends up being a lot of stories where you just get maybe 10-15 minutes worth of content out of something, and then that's it. There's no future, investigation about it. There's no further research, or there's no more further sightings. And there's things like the Polish disco demon. I love that story, but it's only like three sentences. And I kid you not, I can't make a whole episode of Bob After Dark based on the Polish disco demon. So, and I mean, that's why I have like the Bob After Dark spooky chats, is for me to be able to cover shortened topics like that. But for the Bob After Dark for the main show, I have to have something. I have to have some padding, because I need to be able to cover it for a longer period of time. Most of my episodes range anywhere from an hour, hour and a half when I have a guest to help me bounce things off of. This episode will be a little shorter because I'm by myself. But yeah, so I just, you know, this, yes, Kat Watkins, by the way, Vix. Kim Watkins, Kat Watkins, Kim Watkins. Yes. Either way, I just thank you so much for sharing the infographic with me. So this week I found, by letter C, I got to the California Dark Watchers. And the infographic alone, just like the little picture that they showed me on the for it, like, was really scary. It was these tall shadow things with like eye holes, and they wore like a hat. And I'm like, man, I really want to know more about this. And I got the opportunity to do some research and dig up a little bit. And that's what, where I'm at right now with my, and yes, totally Kat Watkins, by the way. I couldn't read my own handwriting when I wrote down my notes. So thank you, Kat and Kyle, 2Ks back to back, for sharing this infographic with me. So let's dive right into talks about the California Dark Watchers, right? So before we begin, there are some Spanish phrases in this, and I'll explain why soon. I'm going to say them to the best of my ability. I have them written out to where I could pronounce them, but I do not speak Spanish. For my longtime fans of the show, you guys may remember that from my La Llorona episode, where Anthony had to sit down and beat it into me for about 40 minutes how to pronounce La Llorona. And even to this day, that was a long time ago I did that episode, I still can't pronounce much outside of La Llorona. And unfortunately, that's not what we're talking about. So I may butcher some enunciations. I apologize. I'll spell it out so you guys can go and research it yourself if you're interested. So the Dark Watchers are also known as the Los Valientes Oscuros, which is L-O-S-V-L-A-N-T-E-S. O-S-C-U-R-O-S, is a name given to a group of entities in California folklore, observing travelers along the Santa Lucia Mountains. They are described as tall, sometimes giant-sized, featureless dark silhouettes, often adorned with brim hats or walking sticks. They often are reported to be seen between the hours of twilight and dawn. They are said to be standing motionless, watching travelers who are going to the Santa Lucia mountain range. Legend says that no one has ever seen them up close, because if you were to approach one, they would just disappear. According to StrangeUniverse.org, such bizarre entities have been reported for centuries, with the accounts supposedly traced back to at least the native Chumas, that's C-H-U-M-A-S tribe, at the of the central coast of California and the Carmel Islands, who apparently had a rich tradition of lore on these strange enigmatic beings, and they called them the Old Ones. Mexican ranchers and Spanish explorers always described the incidents whenever they'd come across them as unsettling. These beings have been cited in many reports, and one of the most well-reported reports and incidences are found in writings by the American author John Steinbeck. I'm sure a lot of you guys probably have heard of him before. It's a very popular spooky tale. And he wrote this in a short story called Flight, where it read, where the character, the main character's name is Pepe, by the way. Pepe looked up to the top of the next dry, withered ridge. He saw a dark form against the sky, a man's figure standing on top of a rock. He glanced away quickly and for it to just disappear curiously. When a moment later he looked up again, the figure was gone. Pepe suspiciously looked back every minute or so, and the eyes sought to the top of the ridges ahead. Pepe looked up in an instant and saw the figure once more. He glanced down, as it was that of a dark watcher. He knew not to pay them any interest in it, because they did not bother anyone who stayed on the trail and mind their own business. That was, again, Jean Steinbeck from his short story, Flight. Why did John Steinbeck point out to them, to us, when we're reading this about Pepe, and how Pepe said that he wasn't going to be bothered by them unless they, you know, maybe they stride off the path, maybe they are being taught a lesson about wandering in places they don't. You see that in a lot of Inuit culture creatures, especially with the, like, Mau Mau. What the Mau Mau was is a legit, like, ghoulish zombie that would attack Inuits that would go out and they would go hunting off the beaten path, or they would go off and maybe by themselves after they were specifically told by, like, the, you know, the village elders and them to say, hey, don't go in there, don't go hunting by yourself, and they would, and they would get attacked by these creatures. So that was, like, the first thing that really popped to mind when I saw or thought about these creatures. But before we continue, I just want to take a quick break to talk about a very special thing. So for my live stream people, hang in there just for a moment, and podcasters, enjoy.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez.
And we're back. I don't know, did you guys enjoy your break? What'd you do? Did you have something to drink? I know I didn't. I wanted to talk a little bit about another literary mention of the Dark Watchers. This time from the poet Robinson Jeffers. In his poem, Such Counseling to You Gave Me in Other Poems. And I quote, he thought it might be one of the Watchers, who are often seen this length of coast range, forms that look human to human eyes, but are certainly not human. They come from behind ridges to watch, but when he approached it, he recognized the shabby clothes and pale hair and even the inverted forehead and converse line from the eye to jaw, so that he was not surprised. When the figure turned toward him, in the quiet twilight showed his own face, and then it melted and merged into the shadows behind it. That's always pretty interesting, because you don't, every other case of the Dark Watchers I've ever come across or I've ever heard, you don't get close enough to even see the face, and usually when you do, it's just two eye holes and maybe like a line for a mouth. But in this story, he was able to see a forehead. What I find really interesting is that they don't want to be noticed, as if they just want to partake in the voyeuristic ways of, well, watching. That is absolutely strange, especially for most things we talk about on this show. You get a lot of things that may frighten you. They may try to mess with you. They may try to attack you, and they may try to kill you. The Dark Watchers are literally there as a entity that does just that. They watch. Many eyewitness accounts are similar traits. In the 1960s, there was one that was made by a hiker high school teacher. A high school teacher that was on a hike, who saw a tall black figure standing on a ridge in a distance because he was, you know, walking around the mountain line. When the hiker called out to it, it just vanished. Another sighting in 2013, a woman by the name of Elizabeth Batiz said that she saw one kind of hovering over a body of water. She said it looked like it was holding on to a staff. And what was even stranger to that story is, in a lot of cases when we talk about things that, especially like demonic or even in some vampire lore, you always hear about things that are evil, and using the word evil because I'm not a big fan of using it, but they're not able to cross running water. That's why you don't really hear of a whole lot of paranormal stuff going on. Like, you know, you're supposed to like run across the creek and the evil's not be able to cross the running water. But this thing just kind of stood there hovering over it as if it was just watching. But one of the strangest encounters I came across was of another hiker. He was on the trail in Ojai, and he was about an hour into the hike when he felt like he was being watched. He looked at the top of a cliff off in the distance, and of course, what did he see? A tall black figure, almost like a shadow. Now, he's kind of heard of these things in the past, and he thought maybe it was just an illusion. So this hiker decided he was going to wave. When he waved, strangely enough, the watcher waved back. And at this point, the hiker said, "Oh." Not something it typically interacts with. The hiker at this point was smoking a cigarette, and he took a long drag off of the cigarette and let out the puff of smoke. When he let out the puff of smoke, the watcher seemed to also let out a puff of smoke, gracefully turning into a mist, and he watched as the watcher grew taller and taller. He decided to run off. I know if Pat was here talking about the story, he would tell me something like, "Well, why didn't he just go after it?" I mean, if I just watched something grow really tall off of a puff of smoke, I probably wouldn't want to hang out. Well, I would hang out, but that's beside the point. I would say that he probably did the right thing. So I've shared a couple encounters and I shared a couple stories of, like, about the Watchers, but what exactly are they? Now, the idea is that no one really knows. The natives referred to them as the Old Ones, meaning that they could have been here a lot longer than us. I was trying to draw an idea of what exactly we could be dealing with. This isn't like any cryptid I've ever heard of, because cryptids are concrete physical things. They may have some extraordinary abilities. They may have things that defy science and logic, but I've never heard of one that's literally just in shadow. I thought of a shadow person, but a shadow person sometimes interacts with the other people. Not just, you know, you hear about stories about like the Man in the Hat, which is a very common trope amongst like sleep paralysis. And you may hear of shadow people like lurking around in weird ways when you're trying to sleep at night. And even in cases where I've seen them, potentially being extra dimensional beings, right? And I'm not buying into that, because these things are literally just hanging around and watching. They're not interacting with us, minus the story with the gentleman who waved and it waved back. For the most part, if you try to engage them, they leave. So they're not aggressive. They're not attacking you. They just kind of hang out. So I was kind of drawing a blank, and that's not a common thing I'm able to do. My usual self is like, I'm going to hunt down some research, I'll figure out what this thing is, and I came up with no particular answer of what I'm dealing with. So I reached out to a friend of mine. He is a Cherokee occultist. He studies a lot of his traditions from his tribe. His name's Mike Pasicolia. And I reached out to Mike and I said, hey, man, I'm coming up with nothing. And he said, go on ahead and share everything we're talking about. So I'm totally not, he's on record for all of this. He knew about it. And I said, hey, Mike, I know you're from the Cherokee tribe, but I'm dealing with, I think, something native. For the fact of the matter is that the tribe referred to these things as the old ones. And it leads me to understand that these things have probably been around for a lot longer than what we have here. And, you know, I said, not the same thing as your Cherokee tribe, but do you guys have a very similar story, or do you have a similar idea, or do you have any sort of explanation, at least on the native side, that I'm not getting? And he sat and thought about it for a bit. I shared some articles because he never heard of the California Dark Watchers either. And he came up with the concept that they're sharing similar characteristics to forest spirits, or those whom guide nature. I don't know if you guys ever seen the anime Princess Mononoke. It's a famous story about like the forest spirit and trying to attack people that were doing like foresting and logging and whatnot. Same concept there. What these things are is they're spirits that hang out in the forest and they literally just watch nature. That's what they are, in essence. They don't necessarily want to interact with human life. They care more about how is that tree doing. And that's what he came up with. I totally buy into that. I kind of agreed with Mike, and I did some research into the forest spirit myself, and totally makes sense. Now, when you look up things about the forest spirits, you come up with ideas like the forest nymph. Not the same thing. And it's also not the same thing as like Fae. This is a deep-rooted, very old, very ancient thing that just cares about the woods and cares about nature. And that's why when you find them, typically they're standing on a ridge, which leads me to think that they're not necessarily looking at you. They're looking at the area around you. And especially when the first real Spanish explorers were going into that area and looking, of course they're probably looking at you. There's lots of stories about like soldiers in that area when they were first like really colonizing it and really looking at it, that they said they would see these things a lot. Well, I mean, you got to think of it. Yeah, of course they're probably going to be looking at you, and of course they're probably going to be wondering exactly what you are. You're a foreigner in a land that they have. Now, because I've had Pat on the show several times in the past few weeks, I wanted to talk a little bit about what the skeptic side is. Now, on my show, I'm very much accepting to skepticism. I like hearing about it. Skeptics keep me on my toes. They give me a reason to try to explain things to best of my ability. But I like to show both sides of the spectrum, two sides of the coin, right? And a lot of what I read from the skeptic's point of view is they're just mirages. They're weird shadows reflecting off of trees, especially in the case, which this makes sense, with the gentleman who waved. It could have been that he was a little closer than he expected, and when he was casting a shadow of himself on this cliffside, and it looked like it was standing up. So when he waved, it waved back, because shadow. And when he was blowing the smoke, well, the smoke itself is going to cast a shadow. Smoke rises. And when it raised, when it went up, it would make it look like it was taller than what it was. So in the skeptical point of view, it does make sense. But how can you attest to everybody? A lot of folks have been seeing them. Even up through the year 2013, we still have these sightings of the Dark Watchers. Is everybody out there just seeing shadows? And is everybody out there just witnessing strange phenomena that they can't explain? It's possible. I just wanted to touch base a little bit about these California dark watchers in popular culture, because they definitely do. I want to take you guys back a couple months ago when we were talking about Creepypasta Month. Now let me just set a tone for you real quick. Strange entity standing in the woods, staring at you, typically a dark figure. What does that sound like? Slender Man? Very much so. When we talked about the Slender Man and his origin story back in Creepypasta Month, the original creator for Slender Man said he wanted to make something based, you know, kind of scary that was a combination of H.P. Lovecraft and Stephen King. I think what he tapped into was something even on the spookier end, like these Watchers. And the famous line in the Slender Man lore is, always watching, always there. Well, very much possible that what that gentleman had there when he was creating the idea of the Slender Man was that he had the California Dark Watchers. The other one, and this is a very, very cool, and it's awesome that I get to mention video games twice on my podcast this week, is in the video game Super Mario Sunshine. This is way back on the Wii. There's a level where you are hanging out in a volcano. And when you turn around in the volcano level and you look up, there's a strange Easter egg of three figures standing in the shadows with holes punched through them where you would look out and you could see the sky. And gamers had no idea what they were looking at. It was so strange. And there was nothing like them in any of the other games, like the rest of the game or anything before or anything that came after that. So people went and looked at the game's files and they came across a file listed under the imaging category called the Hell Valley Sky Trees. Well, I just want to repoint out the whole idea of the lore. Tall things, dark figures, holes for eyes, watching you as you move around. Seems like the creators of Super Mario Brothers Galaxy really took some lore from our California, state California bit of lore. Now, I wanted to end the lore of the week with a little bit of a side piece, right? So, Steinbeck wrote that original story, and he wrote an actual entire book on the concept of the of these Dark Watchers. And he went and he said he's interviewed all of these natives, and he went back through the lore, and he was trying to find something to explain what he saw. And that's when he found the lore about the, you know, the ancient ones, the older ones. And he figured that's exactly what he came across. Well, that tribe in particular that hung out there in that California region don't have lore that's specifically called the Dark Watchers. What they have instead is the Nussex, which is N-U-S-S-E-S-S. And what the Nussex is, it is an animal spirit that can morph into a human, but it's not able to necessarily take a full shape of a human. And they're here more or less to teach us lessons about the nature spirit. Is it possible that John Steinbeck's information wasn't necessarily correct? Is it possible that the lore he received and the research he received about the old ones was completely false? We'll never know. Right now, to what we got from that tribe is it possible that what we're experiencing is the Nussex and these shape-shifting animals creatures? Very possible. And that is where I will leave all of you this evening. I appreciate you guys letting me handle this a little bit on the solo side. I'm running just a little shorter than my normal episode lengths. I assure you it will go back to normal starting hopefully next week. But thank you guys so much for listening to my tale about the California Dark Watchers, a little spooky bit of lore that I never heard about from our native land right here in America. And what's even more fascinating was I was talking to somebody recently, in fact, just yesterday, I was talking to a fan and they said, isn't it funny how every state across America have some form of weird going on? And I thought about back to my infographic where I got this bit of lore from. And I said, yeah, that makes sense. It is really interesting that every state has something strange, and they're not all similar, right? They all may have similar traits. Sometimes the Bigfoot, right? You have one Bigfoot story, you have every Bigfoot story, but there's always something different, something unique. And that leads me to wonder, how do we have very similar stories, but with a little twist? Or how do we have something completely different like the California Dark Watchers? Why are they just located in California? Why don't we have Dark Watchers in the Midwest or on the West Coast? Or I'm sorry, the East Coast. Like, why don't we have them in those neck of the woods? Why don't we have them in those places? So that is that's the question I leave with all of you. I really appreciate everybody tuning in to Bob After Dark this week. To my mom and dad, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Remember, folks, the most important rule I could teach you on Bob After Dark is not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Thank you, everybody, to watching the stream and listening to Podcast Land. I will see you next time.
Memoriam Development.